You are listening to the sermon audio from 12th Street Baptist Church in Rainbow City, Alabama. More information about our church can be found online at www.12th.co.
Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to be with you in the Word this morning. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We are continuing our series called Set Free. Today we're going to be in Romans 8, 26 and 27. So while you're getting there, I'd like to pray and ask the Lord to open up our minds and our hearts in order to shape us more into the image of Jesus. Just like we were thinking, I must tell Jesus this morning, there's a lot today that we're going to learn about what it means to talk to God, to do so through the Holy Spirit, to do so for His glory, even when we don't have the words. So if you would turn to Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 26 and 27, let me pray for us now. Father, I am just a man who is a sinner who's been saved by the grace that you've offered in Jesus Christ, your Son. So I need more and more of your grace and mercy every moment, including now. I pray, Lord, that you would give us hearts to love you, that you would fill us with the love that you've shown us in Christ Jesus on the cross, displayed for our sins, who died under the wrath that we deserve so that we could live eternally with you. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you for giving us Jesus. I pray you'd open our minds to your word. I pray that you'd work in our hearts and that you would shape us more and more into the image of Christ in which we were created and that you would receive all the glory. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, today, 7 years ago, in this very time, I was at a hospital with my wife and we were in the latter part of her 32 hours of labor to birth my son, John Thomas, who's turning 7 today. And so I have to give that shout out to my son. Happy birthday, John Thomas. And on top of that, I have to say, if you didn't already figure it out by what I just said, that my wife is one of my greatest heroes. In fact, I would say earthly hero, she is my greatest hero. That she has done so much in so many ways to love our family and to care for our family. And she's gone through so much with having our kids. And I know many of you could say the same thing. And many of you have those same experiences. Some, though, don't have those same experiences. Some pregnancies don't end up with the joy of birth. And some experiences of having children don't end up as happy as others. And there's so many other things that we suffer through in this life. But as I was prepping for this time today, the Lord really put on my heart for me to share something with you that has been a struggle for me and for my family. Back in January, mid-January, we learned that we were pregnant, and my wife and I were very excited about that. Early on, we brought in a couple of close friends on that information, asked them to be praying for us. Not long after, we shared with our children because we knew that no matter how things went with that, we wanted to bring our children on the front end and have them praying with us for this child. And it wasn't much longer after that until about the end of February we recognized through some tests that things weren't maybe as good as we hoped in that pregnancy. And then on March 4th, in the early morning hours on that Wednesday morning, my wife woke me up and she was in the process of miscarrying. And so I got up and realized quickly that she did not look like she was in a good place. And so as I got up and began to check on her, I recognized that she had lost a lot of blood and that she was not feeling well at all. In fact, I called my mom to come over to watch the kids in case they woke up. And I tried to get her to the car, but she passed out on me several times trying to get to the car. And I was overwhelmed in those moments. And in those moments, I had nothing that I could pray except, God, help me. God, help me. Help her. God, help this child even. Help my wife. Help me. I had no other words. As I tried to get her to the car, I tried to calm her down and to make sure that we were getting to the hospital. And then after we got there and she continued to have bouts with passing out because of fluid loss, and it was just an overwhelming day as she then went into surgery and I began to try to pray over her there. And many of those times I was trying to pray, just like I could get nothing out except, help us, Lord. Just help us. And I felt so unable or incapable of praying what I what I consider to be maybe more, not eloquent per se, but prayers that would mean so much more, that I could say things specifically that I wanted, but I was overwhelmed in those moments, and I was struggling even with doubts about some things with my faith, even in that moment, just saying, Lord, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, just help us, Lord. And it was just a struggle, and many of you have gone through things in your life where you've had a loss, or you've have struggled through a season where you have been overwhelmed and you have been broken down in those moments. And today I want to bring you a word from the Lord that maybe will help us when we go through such times. Romans 8, the whole thing seems to be pointing towards how to endeavor through suffering. And we know that the people in Rome at that time were probably going through persecution and suffering because they were believers. And we believers, like many in the rest of the world, will suffer for various reasons. And Paul talks about it. Like right before this passage in Romans 8, 18 through 25, Paul, who's inspired by the Holy Spirit, has been helping us by putting our suffering into a global and eternal perspective. If you go back and read that or listen to last week's sermon. And now he comes to verse 26 and he says this. He says, likewise, just like that suffering we've gone through, he says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I'll read it one more time. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. And I did not know what to pray for in those moments, in those hours, throughout that day and on. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts, that's the Father, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. John Piper says about this text, he says, this is one of the strangest and most wonderful glimpses into the Trinity's interaction with us and for us in the Bible. That this is one of the strangest, most wonderful glimpses of the Trinity's interaction with us and for us in the Bible. And I have to agree, it's so hard when I was reading this. It seems so complicated in so many ways. I mean, it's basically God speaking on our behalf to God because of God. So God the Father is receiving from the Holy Spirit when we do not have the words. The Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf, speaking to the Father on our behalf, God the Spirit, to God the Father, on the basis of God the Son, because of what he did on the cross for us. And so this is a very strange, but also beautiful picture of God's loving us and the three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, working together in the midst of our suffering to love and care for us. Just like I was talking a moment ago, that suffering that we endure can produce a myriad of responses in us, which then also oftentimes prohibit us from praying as we ought, just like this verse says. You might feel overwhelmed in that moment. You might feel paralyzed. You might be paralyzed with fear, with great fear. I mean, I was afraid. I was overwhelmed. I wasn't necessarily paralyzed with action. That's not generally how I react, but I was paralyzed with fear on the inside. I didn't know how to pray or what to pray or exactly what to do. At times I felt like I was panicked, even felt confusion in the midst of that about how this could be happening this way and what's going on, and doubting the situation, doubting, God, are you taking care of my wife? Like doubting things that otherwise I would never question. And in my ignorance in those moments, and in my weakness in those moments, God proved, as he does for us all, that he loves us so much that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of heartache, he takes the initiative to love us and show us mercy and grace by his Holy Spirit. If we are in Christ, by his Holy Spirit, he shows us mercy and grace in times such as these. Listen, even when we have nothing to say except, God, help me, it's enough if we are in Christ, because we are loved by the God who is always enough. Look at this text with me again, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Okay, listen, that verse right there. First of all, let me say about the groanings. At first, when I was reading this, I thought it was talking about the Holy Spirit was groaning too deep for words for us. But if you put it in the context of other verses in Scripture, like right above this in verse 23, it says, "And not only the creation groans, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." When you look that back in 26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." I believe these groanings are our groanings that are too deep for words. We don't know what to say, but God knows how to listen. We don't know what to say, but God knows how to speak our words back to Himself as He understands us in this way. And so what I want us to see right here in verse 26 is that even in the midst of our suffering, the Holy Spirit stirs our hearts, and then we groan in prayer. This is His initiative to do this. In those moments when I was overwhelmed and paralyzed, I wasn't even thinking about praying until all of a sudden the Holy Spirit prompted me to pray. It wasn't on my mind. I was more concerned in the moment and what I was doing. And then God put a stirring in my heart by His Holy Spirit to pray. And that's what happens to us often. We don't know why it hits us when it does. We don't know exactly how it comes at us. Sometimes God just hits us with things to pray for in the moment in ways that we would not otherwise pray. And sometimes He just stirs in us a desire for it, even if we don't have the words for it. That's the Holy Spirit's loving action to bring us back face to face with God, even when we have no words, even when we don't know what to say. God wants us to be face to face with Him, and that He wants to work in us, even in the midst of that time when we do not have the words. Jesus knew what we needed before we even had a need, before we were ever born, 2,000 years ago. And even then, He interceded on our behalf, and our loving Heavenly Father responded by sending us the greatest grace He could give us, which is His own Holy Spirit. Look at what Jesus said in John 14, 16 through 17. "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." And then in Acts 2, we see the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling in all believers in that time and filling them. And now we know that when you come to faith, the Holy Spirit, that happens because the Holy Spirit is beginning to indwell you then and brings you to faith. And that is God's work for us and to us, the greatest grace we could receive from Him, in addition to His Son dying on the cross 2,000 years ago. The greatest grace we receive now is the Holy Spirit applying that grace to us over and over and over and over again as we are in relationship with Him. And the Holy Spirit is the one causing these groanings in us when we do not have words, even when we are overwhelmed. We do not even know to pray. We aren't even able to think about praying. He's the one that causes these groanings in us. He provokes intense desire within us to pray, even when we don't have the words to pray. That's why it's okay if all you can say is, "God, help me. God, help me," because He knows what you need. He wants you to be in relationship with Him, actively, face to face with Him, even if you don't know what to say. Look at verse 26 and 27 again. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts," it's God the Father who searches hearts, "knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Listen, I said it a minute ago. Let me say it again in some different ways. It's okay when we don't have the words to pray. It's okay when we don't have the words to pray because God knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. Look, when we suffer, it's not the words we pray, but the one to whom we pray. He's the one who helps or saves us. We are not helped or saved by our words. There's no magical incantation. We aren't Wiccan. We aren't into casting spells to get what we need. It's not about what we say or even how we say it exactly. It's about the one to whom we say it, because He's the one who saves us. He's the one that gives mercy. He's the one that doles out grace. 1 John 5:14 says this, "And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Put that in the context right here in verse 27. Again, say it again. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Verse 27, Romans 8. And He who searches hearts, God the Father, who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So we know that God will answer the prayers of the Holy Spirit when we do not have words, because He always asks for things for us connected to what our needs and desires are. Those things that are in the will of God, because He knows the will of God, and He only asks for what's in the will of God. So this is even true. Even when we can't speak, we can have the confidence that we have toward Him that if we ask anything, or if the Holy Spirit asks for us, He will hear us because it's according to His will. And how gloriously good is that for us in the midst of times where we can't think even about praying sometimes. And then when we do, we have nothing to say except help me, help her, help them. What if we don't have the words? What if we don't have any words? Again, verse 26 says, "For we do not know what to pray for as we ought." So the Spirit helps us in our weakness; He intercedes for us. And He who searches hearts, God who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We see all the time, over and over again, the Psalms, in Old Testament prophets, we see. Talking of David, even talking to Solomon, we see continually, we see this ongoing statement that God is the one who knows the hearts, that He can search hearts, that He's aware of the heart. And thank God we don't serve a distant, dictatorial God who is against us, who only helps us if we say the perfect things in the perfect way with perfect words. We have a God who, even while we were His enemies, He sent His one and only Son to die in our place on the cross. He lived the perfect life that we could not live, and He died the death that we deserved, taking on all of God's wrath for us in our place when He took on our sin upon His shoulders. And now He declares us righteous and declares our righteousness, His righteousness upon us, so that we can be brought into the family of God, so that He can adopt us into His family as sons and daughters of the King. We've been looking at that even in Romans 8 about being adopted into that family. Therefore, we have an older brother whose name is Jesus, who lived the perfect life we cannot live, died the perfect death we all deserve, and who always says things. Listen, He always says things with the perfect words to please His perfect Father so that we are forgiven for not being perfect. Your faith, your coming through suffering, your struggle, all those things are not hinged upon you having enough faith. Because you can never have enough to overcome those things. There's things that will come against you that would take over you if it were not for God's mercy and grace. Not because of your strength of faith in yourself, but because of His glorious grace given to you in Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. And so thank God we serve a God who loves us that much. So that when we don't have the words to pray in the midst of our suffering, the Holy Spirit communicates these things to God. He communicates to our Father in the perfect way for us, so that we don't have to be doing it perfectly. We just turn to Him and say, "Help. Help me, Father. Help me." And God our Father knows our hearts, because He's the one who took out the heart of stone that was there before He brought us to life, and He replaced that heart of stone with a heart of flesh, so that when we suffer, we can cry out, "Abba, Father, Daddy, Father." We go back earlier, Romans 8, 14 through 17. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So if the Spirit speaking for you, you're sons of God. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." The cry here is in our suffering is just, "Daddy, Father." It's not even saying, "Help me here." It's just, I don't have words. It's just, "Daddy. Help, Father, help," like a little child. That's the word, Abba is the word for a little child, to cry out to his dad for help, to cry out to him to pick him up, to cry out to him to hold him. It's what a small child would say. It's one who doesn't have many words even. And it goes on, it says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him." Look, He will not, if we are His, He will not let us suffer alone. When we are suffering, He cries out to us by His Holy Spirit, directs our attention, and then we pray. Even if there's no words, we groan from deep within these prayers of groaning. And the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf as we are face to face with the Father again by the Spirit because of the work of the Son. And what glorious love we see from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on our behalf, working in us and through us and for us. And when we have no other words, He knows exactly what we need. And then He works out all things for our good, according to Romans 8:28, which we'll talk more about next week. He works out all things for our good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Not for everyone, but to those who are His, adopted into His family. Look, this doesn't mean that He's always going to stop our suffering in those moments. It doesn't mean He'll always answer our prayers in the way that we want. This doesn't mean He's now enslaved to our desires and has to do what we want or what our requests are. This doesn't mean that our lives will be easy or even that we will have our best life right now. But it does mean that if you are His, He will always work out our suffering to produce the best good we could possibly have, even if that means death in this moment, so that we can be finally and ultimately relieved of all suffering as we go to be with Him for forever. That's how much He loves us, that He will always use it to work it out to our good if we are His. That means when we don't have the right words, when we ask for not the perfect things, God the Father can intercede on our behalf by His Holy Spirit, communing us with Him as His Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, speaking the words we do not have the words for, and it's all received and accepted according to God's will because of the work that Jesus already did for us on the cross. I mean, before the foundation of the world, He chose you to be His, according to Ephesians chapter 1. And then He sent Jesus to make sure that He secured us and took the captives of sin back to be His captives of grace and mercy and freedom. He took us captive out of our enslavement to sin so that we could be His sons and daughters. And now He does not let us to be on our own. Instead, He holds us in His hands. And when we suffer, He brings our attention back to Him. And when we don't have the words to pray, He speaks on our behalf to fulfill His own will. And He does so because of the precious sacrifice of Jesus. So God, help us. Give us the words to pray. But if you don't give us the words to pray, then pray for us in our weakness. God, just help us when we suffer. Help us every moment of every day as we need You. And listen, brothers and sisters, if Christ is in you, you never bear your cross alone. Charles Spurgeon, talking about this passage, says, God helps us to bear our cross. The Holy Spirit actually helps us to bear our cross. Whether it is physical pain or mental depression or spiritual conflict or slander or poverty or persecution, which He endured almost all of those things, He says, God helps us to bear our cross. Just like it says, Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. It does not mean like what the false gospel of prosperity says will happen, that you will get financial prosperity or you will get all these things you want and success in the world's eyes. It doesn't mean that at all, but it means that He will eventually work out all things for your good. Even if that means it has to be when you go to be with Him forever, He will do that for those who are called according to His purpose, because He did not send His Son to die on the cross for people to then leave them in their sin and not redeem them. He sent Him to die on the cross, and He has now applied that to you if you are in Christ, and He will bring you home. And He will eradicate all the suffering and all the sin, and all that will be taken away because we know that He has sent His Son to die. And His Son is worth so much He would never waste a drop of His blood. So we have perfect hope in Him, even when our hope is not perfect. And when we are ignorant or weak, and when we suffer, the Holy Spirit prays the will of God for us. And the will of God is always for our good if we are His. And God does this for His saints because He loves us as His children. He doesn't do this for those who are not His. But today, if you're hearing this, you can be His. All you have to do is turn from a life apart from God, a life in your sin, going about things for the glory of others or for the ways of the world and not for the King of the universe who created you to know you, to love you, to cherish you, to adopt you into His family. Turn to Him. Put your hope in Him through Jesus who died on the cross in our place, believing in Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, as our older brother who's gone before us, the firstborn of all creation. The Holy Spirit knows in our ignorance and weakness what will make Romans 8:28 true for us. And so He prays it for us if you are His. And God the Father hears the prayers of God the Spirit on the basis of the finished work of God the Son. So brothers and sisters, we should take heart because God's whole Trinitarian reality is helping us. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Today you may be feeling like you don't sense that help. Today you may be feeling like you've cried out for that help and not received what you wanted. But we can trust and know that if He sent His one and only Son to die the most horrific death on this planet, and not just because He was on a cross, other people died on a cross, but because He endured all of the wrath of all of mankind that would believe in Him, He endured all of that wrath that had been saved up from God's people, that they deserve the moment they sin and every time they sin, and all the sins that have been saved up from us were pushed back, and all that from the Old Testament pushed back onto Jesus at one time, and He endured all of what would take all of eternity for us to endure. He endured it all on the cross to the point of death, and He died under that wrath, the excruciating, overwhelming, million-mile waterfall of death and wrath upon Him in our place so that we could be brought into relationship with Him. We know that if He does that, that He loves us so much, that much that He sent Jesus to die for us, that we can know that in the midst of our suffering, even now, what we have seen Paul refers to in other places that might eventually look like a light and momentary affliction, but now can be overwhelming and paralyzing and fear striking upon us, confusing, taking us to the point where we have no words to say, even if we can't even say, "Help me, Lord," that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf in our weakness. Because He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What a gracious God. Let us ask for His favor even now. Our God, God, You have not forsaken us. You have never forsaken us. Even when we have felt forsaken in moments and in struggles and we felt alone, You never left us alone. And You were never far from our groanings. And on the cross of Calvary, Your Son was abandoned, even to the point of death, so that in His last moments, He cried out to You, "Father, why have You forsaken me?" Fulfilling what was told years, hundreds of years before, but because You forsook Him on the cross, we know that You will never forsake us. Because He died for us on the cross in our place. You will never forsake those for whom He died. We will never be forsaken. So thank You for sending us Your Holy Spirit to comfort us, even in our suffering. Thank You for sending Your Holy Spirit to speak on our behalf when we do not have the words to say in the midst of our struggles. Thank You for holding us together in Your strength and not making us depend on our strength, which would never stand the test. And thank You for giving us all the grace and mercy we need in Jesus, in whose name we pray these things. Lord, thank You, thank You, thank You for Jesus. In His holy name, I pray these things. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon audio from 12th Street Baptist Church. Feel free to share this with anyone you meet, and we pray that this sermon helped you to be more like Jesus, as 12th Street seeks to be a place where we can find forgiveness for the past and hope for the future.